Football Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Fumbled again at the 45-yard line. Picked up by Anderson. Taylor at the 20, 15, 10. Eat some turf. Touchdown.
Michael Boyle to win the game. He's got it. And the nation's longest losing streak is over. Colorado State and the Buffs will storm the field.
Now, here's Brady Hall.
6 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, Football Friday. Got a lot of interesting games coming up this weekend, specifically for our local teams, and it's big. I mean, we're well enough into this, both college and the NFL, where we're starting to kind of figure out who the good teams are, who the pretenders are, who's going to be around. And so, I mean, this is no longer, hey, it's the NFL, anything can happen. We're starting to get those teams that are separating from the pack. You know, let's run through the NFL. Obviously, we had the Cardinals win last night. That was a huge win for them. Andy Dalton throws two pick sixes, essentially to end the first half, which set Arizona up for a 42-34 win. But, I mean, look at these games. The Jets are 4-2. Like, if you're the Jets, you're looking at this Broncos game going, wow, we win this game, we're 5-2, and now we're starting to believe that we can go do something. And, I mean, they won three straight. Beat the Steelers, beat the Dolphins, just handled the Packers 27-10. Is this a good football team? Does Robert Saleh have this team really to a point where we're saying the Jets are a good football team? Zach Wilson is 42 of 75, 572 yards, one touchdown, two picks, only in three games. You know, last week against Green Bay, 10 of 18, 110 yards. Like, they're not asking him to do a lot. But when Breece Hall's running the way he's running, 116, 20 carries for 116 yards and touchdown against Green Bay last week. This, I mean, just look at this. The Jets are, this is a game where they're looking at it going, man, we win this game and we make things really interesting in the, what is their division, the AFC East? I mean, they're a game behind the Bills. Who saw that coming? I mean, the NFC East, or the AFC East is interesting too, because the Bills are 5-1. I still believe they're going to run the table. The Dolphins are 3-3 in third place. Is Tua coming back? But there's a lot of turmoil surrounding the Dolphins after the way they handled that. How about Mike McDaniel, though? Like, hey, really cool that my team is moving the ping pong table out so they can focus on the game. And then it's like, no, we just wanted to get a new one. We moved the old one out. We brought a new one in. Oh, my bad. But the AFC East is... he's good. Patriots are 3-3, and they're in last place. So we'll get into the Broncos-Jets game a little bit more and who needs to be a stud here. And the Broncos got to watch out for Breece Hall, man. I mean, he's got 400 yards on the ground, three touchdowns. They just don't want to get lit up. They've been lit up once on the ground by Josh Jacobs. They got to be careful. But defensively, man, I have a lot of faith there. Falcons-Bengals game suddenly is pretty interesting. That's 11 a.m. on Fox. Falcons are 3-3. Bengals are 3-3. You know, Bengals, if they want to kind of get that respect. I mean, nobody respected them last year, even though they go to the Super Bowl. Nobody respected them to start this season. I said at the start of the season, the Bengals probably have the biggest chip on their shoulder because they're the Super Bowl, the AFC champs, and nobody's saying they're going to do anything. Well, they're 3-3. So they haven't done anything. Big game for Cincinnati. Detroit at Dallas. I'm hearing Dak's going to play. It's going to be Dak Prescott. They're 4-2. They looked awful game one against Tampa Bay. Dak looked awful. Cooper Rush, he kept this thing going. And the Cowboys, 4-2. There's an opportunity here against a 1-4 bad Lions. I mean, I know a lot of people are like, Lions are going to be much better. Yeah, the Lions are going to Lion. Jared Goff is going to Jared Goff. Cowboys will probably blow that one out of the water. I don't know. We'll see. Dak Prescott, can he get it right? He didn't look good the first game, but we'll see. Colts Titans, pretty big game. Colts are 3-2-1. Titans are 3-2. Again, a lot of these games. This is the separating weekend. This is where you start to see the teams. Like the Lions are 1-4 going against the Cowboys. They lose this game. All right, they're the Lions. You know, Bengals, Falcons. Bengals get this win. They start to go, okay, we're over 500, 7 weeks in. We're starting to feel good. Packers, Commanders. Washington got a win last week, but boy, they're a train wreck. Not just on the field, but, I mean, I know they won on Thursday. But their whole thing, the Dan Snyder stuff, everything, Ron Rivera, how he's been handling Carson Wentz, that's just blowing my mind. Packers lost to the Jets, got smoked by the Jets. They have to bounce back this weekend. So they're going to Washington. Tampa Bay and Carolina. Carolina is phoning the season in. They just traded Christian McCaffrey for draft picks. They are phoning this thing in. Tampa Bay is a 13-point favorite. I believe that's the biggest spread of the weekend. And it's must. I mean, you got to feel like for Tampa Bay, you can't lose to Carolina. You're 3-3. You got to get this thing right after Tom Brady's chewed out the offensive line against Pittsburgh. See if that resonated, if that worked. It kind of feels like a must win there. Giants are at Jacksonville. Giants are 5-1. Don't look now, but Daniel Jones is good. Saquon Barkley went healthy. He's good. 116 carries for 619 yards and 4 touchdowns for Saquon. Is Jacksonville better? They're 3-point favorites in this game. I know it's at home. It's in Jacksonville. Then you have Cleveland at Baltimore. Cleveland's whole thing was like, can we stay afloat until Deshaun Watson gets back? And I still don't really know what's going to happen with Watson. With more and more cases, with more and more women stepping forward. Baltimore, I mean, can you hang on to a freaking lead? They're 3-3. So this is a weekend I'm looking at a bunch of 3-3 teams that expected to be much better, like Baltimore and Tampa Bay and Green Bay and Cincinnati. This is a big weekend for you guys. Texans at Raiders. Raiders are 1-4. Absolute must win. Or they'll be stuck in the basement regardless of what happens with Denver. Seattle and the Chargers. Seattle's 3-3. See, they're the opposite of these Green Bays and Baltimore's. Nobody expected them to do anything this year. And right now, they're playing good football, and Geno Smith is playing good football, and they're watching the Broncos play bad football. They're going to have a damn good draft pick. So far, 6 weeks in, Pete Carroll and company are looking like geniuses. If they beat the Chargers this weekend, wow. Now we're really cooking. I know the Chargers beat Denver last week. I don't know that I believe in the Chargers as much as I did to start the season. Got to win this one against Seattle. And they'll be 5-2, and they'll be right there in the thick of things in the AFC West. Chiefs at Niners. Chiefs just a 2-point favorite on the road against San Francisco. I'm guessing Christian be cleared to play this weekend, right? Traded on a Thursday. Was it last night? Was it Wednesday night? Or Thursday night? Should he be cleared to play? Maybe he won't until the following week. But the Niners are 3-3. Chiefs are 4-2. They're looking at this situation. Niners are like, hey, we can still. I know that with our quarterback out, we had to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance out. We got Jimmy G. They can still achieve what they want. And this Christian McCaffrey move, if he can stay healthy, that's a pretty good move for them. Pair him up with Debo. I mean, Niners could be dangerous. Then Steelers, Dolphins, Sunday night. Tua's back, right? Must win, kind of, the 3-3. I think they overachieved to start the season, and then when Tua goes down, all hell breaks loose. So we'll see if Miami's actually a good team in the next few weeks. And then Monday night, Bears at Patriots. That is not an appealing game to me. 2-4, Patriots are 3-3. Trying to stay in the thick of things. But this Broncos-Jets matchup, can you believe the Broncos are 1-point underdogs in this game? That just goes to show you what we're thinking of the Broncos, and it goes to show you what we're thinking of the Jets at this stage. How have the Jets been doing it? Three in a row for New York. You know, started with Joe Flacco, and they weren't very good. Then Zach Wilson's coming in, and a little bit of a spark, but really, it's been running the ball. Breece Hall, 399 yards. Michael Carter, 200 yards. And Corey Davis has had a good start to the season with 19 receptions, almost 400 yards and two touchdowns. But, you know, defensively, the Jets have, I mean, like C.J. Mosley is one of the best. He's playing lights out, one of the best linebackers in the league right now. And that's what you have to have, those key defensive players that are, you know, coming up with big plays every single week. And the Jets are a pretty good defense, top 10. You know, yards per game passing, they're allowing 312. As far as rushing, they're allowing, 207. 312 yards total, 207 yards passing per game, and 105 yards rushing per game. So the Jets are, you know, surprisingly pretty good. Somewhat upper echelon in yards, passing yards per game. And they're better than Denver in rushing yards per game. And Denver's the, I mean, right now, it's San Francisco, Buffalo, and Denver. Those are the top three defenses in the NFL. Can Denver's defense be good enough to keep you in a game like they've done for 2 weeks in a row against the Colts, against the Chargers? The defense was playing lights out football. I mean, I don't know that it could be much better. Well, Brady, they gave up the final drive against the Colts. Yeah, dude, you can't. There's no such thing as a perfect defense. But the Broncos are getting close. You know, how will they do? Again, looking at some of the injuries for them, who are they getting back out on the field? You know, will we see Josie Jewell, who's questionable? Caden Stearns is questionable. I mean, they've been decimated by injuries. But if you can get Josie Jewell back in the fold, then, man, I love the way he played. He was terrible against the Raiders, but outside of that, he's been pretty good. But the linebackers have stepped up. I mean, Alex Singleton, he stepped up. And you've liked to see, you know, what you're seeing with him and Jonas Griffith and that mix up there. And I'll tell you what, Baron Browning has been a pleasant surprise for Denver. So the pass rush to me is going to be absolutely, it's key again. You know, you're dealing with a young corner who was thrust into action, Damari Mathis, because of the injury to Ronald Darby. Damari had a bad game. That was his first start. He's a rookie. He had a bad game, a lot of pass interference calls, although he had some key plays. He had that key knockdown on third down that forced the Chargers to, or maybe it's fourth down. But I think he's going to be pretty good. Tell you what, that guy's going to be battle-tested by the end of the year. You know, getting Justin Simmons back last week, having him in for another full week, this defense is going to have a game. The question is, can your offense, can you play complementary football? We haven't really seen it. For Denver, you've had great defense, save for the first half against Seattle and the Raiders game. Can you get this offense to the point where you're scoring more than? Can you score 20? Can you score 20 points? I tell you what, you score 20 points, you might win. Beginner's luck. Here is where the locker room split goes, because the D will be getting tired, hurt, and then mad at the O for not taking any time off of the clock. That's what you got to run. Denver's got to dedicate to the run game. And what I'm saying, dedicate to the run game, I'm not talking about shotguns and delayed handoffs. For the love of everything, stop with those runs.
No jet sweeps.
No jet sweeps.
Nothing cute.
No shotgun. I know Russ wants the shotgun. Can you go back to the pistol? Not the pistol, but what was it that Manning did? It was like a half shotgun kind of deal. He was a little bit closer to the center. He had a running back lineup behind him. But he wasn't in full-on shotgun mode. He was like 2 yards behind the center. What was that?
I always thought that was a pistol.
Yeah, maybe that was. It's different, though, because most of the time pistol offenses are running quarterback with options. Manning just had throwing options. So go in the pistol, then. Try that. If he wants to, he doesn't want to get under center, then try something different. But I'm telling you, don't run out of the shotgun all the time. You have to dedicate to the run. But I formation, single back, whatever. But give those running backs a head start before they catch or before they actually receive the handoff. So tired of seeing the delayed handoff. It's driving me crazy. And then on third and one, you don't run it. You go shotgun pass. And it's just like, what are we doing here? It's a big weekend for Denver. 20 minutes after the hour, more Broncos Jets coming up. And then the big games I'll be looking at. You know, of course, Colorado State and Colorado. Mike Sanford, can he get two in a row? Oregon State's pretty good. This is the start of the monster schedule for the Buffs. So it could get a lot worse before it gets better, Buffs fans. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. It's Football Friday here, already the 21st day of October. Getting close to Halloween. Great time of year. It's a Monday this year. It's a Monday. No, it doesn't bother you at all, Michael. You're not a big Halloween guy.
Not really.
Why not? You don't go trick-or-treating anymore?
I like candy.
Huh?
I like hanging out with my niece and nephew when they dress
taking,
up and stuff.
Are you
I
taking
don't.
The niece and nephew trick-or-treating?
I think my niece is too old.
How old is she now? 12?
12. 12, yeah.
I don't know. Is that too... I don't know. I have no idea. Is that too old?
Maybe. I was never into trick-or-treating.
Oh, I love trick-or-treating. It was a fantastic time. It's great. I don't remember. I want to say like fifth grade, maybe? 12 might be too old. I don't know. How old? But your nephew's young enough.
Yeah, he's 8.
Yeah, perfect age. You go trick-or-treating with him?
I don't know.
Oh, well, maybe you can make the plans.
It depends. What day is Halloween?
Monday. I said Monday.
Oh.
It's the 31st, which I think that we should make a new rule that Halloween is always on Friday, but can't do it because the day is actually celebrate All Hallows Eve is actually the 30th, right? And that's the big celebration and stuff, so you couldn't really do it. Come on, you're my history guy.
You know, honestly, it should be treated like
Thanksgiving?
It should always be
on a certain day.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, which is kind of a holiday.
It is a holiday.
I mean, it's a holiday, but it's like...
What do you,
you
mean
know,
kind of a holiday?
It's based off of something that happened a long time ago.
So is all of them.
That maybe happened.
So is Christmas.
Yeah, but like, it doesn't have a fixed date. It has a sort of date. So let's do that with Halloween.
Well, it's the last Thursday of every November, isn't that right?
Yeah, but it's not a fixed date.
No, I'm good with that for Halloween. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Are we going to the future headline thing here, the future headline clip?
Future headlines.
So, here's what's going to happen.
Here's your headline. Some companies still know how business is done.
You take the pictures, I'll make up the headlines, okay? All right? Is that okay with you?
All right, normally, Angel reads me a few headlines that could happen in the near future based on games night of, next day, weekend, whatever. And I am terrified that I have now given you the keys to this segment. You will do whatever it is that's on your mind, and I will tell you whether that headline could actually come true.
Okay.
Okay.
Would you like me to read these headlines?
I would love for you to read those headlines.
David Roddy scores his first points in the NBA.
Not that creative, but yes, I think that's true. That's going to happen tonight.
Okay.
Yes, against Houston.
Carolina trades its newly acquired draft picks to Cleveland for Deshaun Watson. How about that headline?
Well, it's not, you know, it sounds like it's over the top, but the way we've handled the Deshaun Watson thing and the way Carolina is, wouldn't that be something? Deshaun Watson comes back over to Carolina. and knocks Baker Mayfield out of the starting job there. No, I don't think that's true, but you just never know. I didn't think Cleveland was going to sign Deshaun Watson for what they did either. All right, what else you got?
UNC crushes UC Davis.
I don't know about crushes. I don't know if I'm ready to say UNC is going to... I'm going to predict the Bears to crush anybody. So I'm going to... That defense is not good right now.
That's just the hope. That's
so,
the hope.
Yes, but that's... Yeah, I hope so. I don't think they crush UC Davis.
This next one is not a hope. Overzealous Denver Broncos fan performs a citizen's arrest on Russell Wilson for theft.
I don't think that'll actually happen.
I don't think that'll actually happen either, but I think a lot of people want to.
Did you see in the playoff game? You probably didn't because you don't watch baseball, but there was a fan that came onto the field, and he was like hugging one of the, like going after one of the players, like just wanted to do a selfie. But they wouldn't show it on camera because they don't want to highlight those things, right? I for once said, do something that would make listeners go, I don't ever want to do that. They were like talking about, yeah, we talked to a guy, and it's like, if you do that now... They say, I don't know if this is real, maybe somebody could figure it out, it's $10,000 to go on the field, and you get spend like a night in jail. So, if someone were to try to arrest Russell Wilson, they would have to storm the field and sacrifice $10,000.
Yeah, well, isn't a player being sued now? I thought I heard that a player was being sued because he tackled a guy.
Bobby Wagner.
And that's so stupid.
And the player was the fan was going toward the line or the bench too, so Bobby was what you're on their work for, like you can't enter here, this is private property, bro. You can't jump onto the field.
Yeah, I think if you are on the field, you are fair game. Anyone who's officially allowed to be on the field is allowed to tackle you. The quarterback can take you down, the linebackers can take you down, the running back can trip you, as long as they're not like bashing you in the face with a helmet or a cop's like not tasering you to, you know, its heart's content, anything's fair.
All right, is that your last headline?
No, I've got one more.
Oh, good. What else?
Amazon pays $1 billion for Wednesday night badminton.
I thought you were going to say Wednesday night football. Because they're going to do Friday next year on Black Friday.
I like football, but like this Thursday night football stuff's got to be rethought.
Do you think that they'll ever go away from Thursday night football? Like, why not Saturday?
Well, I think Angel and
college.
I are...
You're competing with college?
They are competing with college, and I don't think they want to cannibalize the audience. So
why not do Friday? It's another day, because the complaint right now is it's too soon in the week, everybody's hurt. You go one more day, one more full day of rest or whatever.
But you're also... There's also a lot of high school games that
it's one you're game.
Lose. So I think the best thing to do, and I think Angel and I were talking about this, is to have an extra week for two bye weeks for each team, and whoever has that Thursday game, they have a bye week before it. So you get that extra rest. The two teams that are playing on that Thursday, they get the extra rest, whether it's, you know, week one, you don't start week one, and you do that Thursday night game. Your very first game is
Thursday, the following Thursday.
Yeah. I just think it's ridiculous to ask these players, especially if, like, you have an afternoon game or a night game, and you're on the road. And you don't get to go home and rest. You have to get on an airplane. It's too much. We're worried about their safety, and well,
the NFL doesn't
really
care about their safety. They everything that looks good, like the optics of it, if they could try to make it look good. But if they were really worried about their safety, they wouldn't have added another like two more. Didn't they add? They added another regular season game. And then they still do Thursday night games. If they were really worried about their safety, they wouldn't have done that.
You need more players on the active game day squad, and you also need another bye week. And that would help go a long way.
Well, it's worth doesn't sound like a terrible idea to me. I don't know if the NFL will go for it, though.
Well, thank you. That's the nicest thing you've said to me today.
Yeah. Probably the nicest thing I've said to you in a while. Good job on the headlines. 34 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Love our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. Getting cooler by the day. A cold front coming in, what, starting like Saturday night or something? Check out my friends, Lemons Heating and Cooling, 970-567-0798. Make sure it's all up to date. Everything's up to speed. And you don't want that heater messing up when it gets really, really cold. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What? You got something? You can play something?
I found your picks.
Oh, we don't do that till the last segment.
Okay.
You're a rookie here. You're new here.
It says here, segment three.
I do them in segment
four. On my notes.
Oh. Angel trying to run. Angel's trying to control the show. I'm uncontrollable. I'm a wild card. You never know. I might just throw it out and not do any picks. I might do the Thursday night special.
I think you should do the Thursday night special.
I landed that one, by the way. Absolutely drilled it. I took Arizona -2.5. You're welcome. I'm 3-4 on the year, though. Got to get back to 500 next week.
Susan and Cheryl are proud of you.
They are very proud of me. I mean, we've been a team, man. We pick together. It's all family here. Let's see. What week is this? We got, week 8 will be next week. Ravens at Buccaneers. That one actually might be interesting. That one might be interesting. I got to do some studying there. All right, busy weekend coming up. Colorado State's playing host to Hawaii. My guy Clay Millen is back in the fold. I am really wanting to see this offense take hold. And I like Avery Morrow, I do, but that's not what I signed up for. When I'm hearing for air raid, I'm thinking of Clay Millen slinging that thing all over the place. And Torrey Horton is coming down with like 8 catches for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. I want to see it. They have been depleted, though. Players leaving the program, whatever, not thinking this is worth their time, I suppose, because they're not as good as all of us thought. But maybe they turn this thing around. You know, I talked about Wyoming and the opportunity that they have in front of them. Listen, CSU, for the most part, has given me no reason to be optimistic, but they went toe-to-toe with Utah State, and Utah State's, I don't know if they're good. They're not good, but they beat Air Force, and the quarterback situation's getting pretty lousy. But, I mean, if you're CSU, who knows? You go beat Hawaii this week, and Air Force loses to Boise State, you could leapfrog Air Force, and you could be in fourth. This Hawaii team's in a tough spot. You know, they smoked Nevada, but they're kind of a learning team. They're trying to figure things out, too. So it's an opportunity for CSU, you know, with their final 6 games or so, conference games, ended on a high note. I don't remember the stat Kevin gave us on Rams Weekly last night. But he was talking about like their records in their last 6 games in the last few years. They've been atrocious. And that's bad business. Not just bad football, it's bad business. You know, fans aren't like, oh, we're going to rush out and get season tickets because you guys went 1-5 to end the season. And not a good 1-5. Like, you were getting blown out. But if you can, you remember with CU, even though Mel Tucker is gone with the wind, he did well enough with Colorado State at the end of the season. I think they won a game, and then they battled back. They battled into 2 games that were supposed to be blowouts. And Mel Tucker's like dancing in the locker room with CU, final game of the season. Like, they're feeling it, and everyone's like, this is our leader. CU bought in. They didn't have a good year. They weren't a bowl team. But Buffs fans were pumped because they're like, we're going to do something here. This coach is going to get it right. Then, of course, we know what happened. But you got to give this CSU's like trying to get this fan base excited, and they are. Tons of people were at that game last week. They believe in this program, and I think that maybe they have a good showing tomorrow afternoon. It's supposed to be pretty nice for the most part until later in the Saturday. So CSU, good opportunity to try to just find some positives here. I don't expect them to be competing for the Mountain West championship. I don't at this stage expect them to win five more games so they get into a bowl game. If they did that, holy crap. Look out. See if you can hold on. Lock up your head coaches. Lock up Jay Norvell, because teams are going to go, wow, you were able to pull out six wins with that team? It's young, it's growing, it's all that stuff, but it ain't there right now. Now you're just looking, hey, can we beat a team we're supposed to beat in Hawaii? They're six-point favorites. For the Buffs, Mike Sanford. You know, I asked Mark Johnson on Wednesday, the voice of the Buffs. I said, if you had a meter right now, as far as like, it's on the left, it's like, no way Mike Sanford's going to be the next head coach. All the way to the right, it's like, yeah, he's going to be the hire. He said, yeah, it's like 2%, like barely. That moved the needle a little bit. But they're not going to, listen, unless Mike Sanford wows them, they're not going to hire him as their next head coach. He has to wow them, meaning you have to win games that you're really, you have no business even being in. And the Oregon State Beavers, that spread is 23.5. What do you think the spread's going to be against Oregon? Or at USC? Are we getting to 30 at USC? Now, they have Arizona State the following weekend, which could win that game. Oregon State, though, you know, 5-2. They're 2-2 in the conference. They are turning things around there in Oregon State. So I don't think we're going to be seeing a back-to-back dub for Sanford. On Wednesday, I almost got to the point where I was like, could this be so out of the realm of possibility that Mike Sanford comes in and shocks the world and they beat Oregon State? He's starting JT Schrout, who threw the touchdown pass. I thought he should have started from the beginning. You're the Pac-12 guy. How bad are these spreads going to be? Give me a guess. What's the spread going to be against Oregon?
Oh, my God. The worst thing that will ever happen to CU is the spread against Oregon.
What do you think it's going to be?
It'll be in the 30s.
What about at USC?
In the 30s.
On the road.
Wait, is it at Oregon?
Oregon game's home.
If the Oregon game's at home, then it's not going to be...
It's got to be more than 30. It's got to be more than what Oregon State's favored by, though, right?
I mean, more than Oregon State, but if it's in Eugene, then you know, good luck being less than 30. I think.
Does that USC get to 30?
Oh yeah, unless USC has some kind of horrible meltdown.
How about your boys, Washington, not having the season we thought? Although they're 5-2, I mean.
They're 5-2, but they have no defense. They were up by 18 points in the third quarter, and I'm saying to myself, this is not enough. And then at some point in the fourth quarter, they were up by only 3, and I'm like, yep, it was not enough.
47 minutes after the hour. When we come back, I'll hit you with my picks. I'm at 500. I'm sitting at 18-18, trying to bust over the 500 mark. Can we do it? We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
No picks music? No picks? See if you can find it, Michael. We got to have the picks. Let's go.
It's time to make our picks here.
Not a good start and not a good sign for this weekend's pick. So if I come up short, if I'm under 500 at the end of the week, it's on you, Mike. All right, so I got a couple minutes here? Utah State at Wyoming. Wyoming is 4.5-point favorites. Big game for the Cowboys. It's their homecoming. Titus Wynn coming off a bye week. Yeah, Cowboys rolling that one. I like the Cowboys to cover 4.5. UC Davis at UNC. I almost took UC Davis to pull up an upset, but I'm not going to go there. I just had two McCaffreys on the show in the last 2 days. I can't do that. I'm going to go with the Bears to win over UC Davis. I actually do like the Bears to win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, though. Hawaii at CSU. The Rams are 6-point favorites. Clay Millen? Torrey Horton? Get it going? Yeah, I think so. I think CSU runs the table here. I think they cover. -6, that line has moved around a little bit, hasn't it? Boise State at Air Force. Air Force, 2-point favorites last time I checked. Again, these are ESPN's odds or whatever. Boy, this was a hard one for me. I do think that Boise State gets found out. You think Air Force is a phony? I think Boise State's a phony. I like Air Force to cover. See you at Oregon State. The Buffs are good. No. Can't do it. They won't cover. Same team. This is the same roster that was getting smoked. They won't cover. Oregon State's a good team. They won't cover the 23.5. And it's a blowout. And Buffs fans are back to sad mode. And there we go. Jets at Denver. The Broncos are a dog. 1-point dog. Can Robert Saleh get this team to an even better spot and beat the Broncos in Denver? Oh, boy. Forgive me for what I'm about to do. But I like the Broncos to win this game. I think they do beat the J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. There you go. The picks are in. Wyoming wins big. The Bears win. CSU wins kind of big. Air Force wins kind of big. CU loses big. And the Broncos get the dub. And they get win number 3. And Mr. Wolverine Blood himself maybe gets all of us media off his back for a week. That's going to do it for us. We have a lot of preps action tonight. Cannot wait. Football night in Northern Colorado starts at 6. Good night, Northern Colorado.